Biological War, an audio summary. Annie Jacobson is a Pulitzer Prize finalist and investigative journalist whose previous book, Nuclear War, a Scenario, sold over 200,000 copies, hit the New York Times bestseller list, and was shortlisted for the Bailey Gifford Prize for Nonfiction. Now she has turned the same suffocating narrative technique toward another existential threat facing humanity, biological warfare. The central premise of this book is stark. What would actually happen if a biological catastrophe struck? Not science fiction speculation, but a rigorously researched chain of consequences drawn from dozens of interviews with experts at the highest levels of politics, government, medicine, and the military. From a laboratory accident, through a deliberate biological attack, to a global pandemic, and ultimately the complete collapse of human society. The first key argument concerns the invisibility of biological weapons. Jacobson draws a sharp contrast between biological warfare and nuclear warfare. When a nuclear bomb detonates, there is a mushroom cloud, a shockwave, a fireball. You can see it, hear it, feel it. Biological weapons operate in complete silence. There is no explosion, no visible destruction. The catastrophe begins with something so small it cannot be seen with the naked eye, an engineered virus, a modified bacterium. When it enters the body, you may not even know you have been infected. This silence is precisely what makes it so terrifying. By the time the alarm is raised, the pathogen may have been spreading through the population for days or even weeks. The longer the incubation period, the wider the spread, and by the time containment becomes the priority, the golden window for action may already be closed. The second key argument revolves around gain-of-function research and its dual-use dilemma. In the life sciences, researchers routinely modify pathogens to enhance certain characteristics such as transmissibility or virulence. This work, known as gain-of-function experimentation, serves a legitimate purpose. If you can make a virus more dangerous in a controlled laboratory setting, you can study it in advance and develop countermeasures. The problem is that the same technology, the same knowledge, the same equipment, can be used either to save lives or to engineer weapons. Through extensive interviews, Jacobson exposes the gray zone of dual-use research. When a scientist modifies a virus inside a BSL-4 laboratory, there is no guarantee where that knowledge will ultimately end up. More unsettling still, there are hundreds of high-containment biolabs around the world, yet the international regulatory framework is nowhere near as robust as it is for nuclear weapons. The third key argument is the systemic fragility of modern civilization. Jacobson maps out a harrowing timeline. In the first hours after a pathogen is released, almost nobody notices anything unusual. During the first few days, isolated hospitals begin seeing unexplained severe cases, but delays in information sharing and the ambiguity of early symptoms prevent the public health system from responding in time. By the first week, infections are growing exponentially, medical resources are running out, and healthcare workers themselves are falling ill. By the second week, social order begins to fray. Supermarkets are emptied, transportation systems break down, and government agencies cannot function normally. By the third and fourth weeks, mass death, anarchy, food and medicine shortages, and the infrastructure that once kept civilization running smoothly has slid from normal operation to a fight for survival in a matter of weeks. What is most frightening about this book is not any single technical detail, but what it reveals about the hyper-connectedness and mutual dependency of modern society. The very traits that make civilization efficient also make it catastrophically vulnerable. The fourth key argument addresses laboratory safety failures and human error. Jacobson meticulously traces real-world laboratory accidents from history. Although high-containment biolabs are equipped with rigorous protective measures, operational mistakes, equipment failures, and researcher negligence can all lead to the escape of lethal pathogens. Even more concerning is the insider threat. Those with authorized access to dangerous pathogens who, whether intentionally or accidentally, violate safety protocols, could set off a chain of events with catastrophic consequences. The book also examines the possibility of terrorists acquiring biological agents. Unlike nuclear weapons, which require a massive industrial infrastructure, biological weapons demand relatively accessible equipment and expertise, a fact that dramatically lowers the barrier to entry and exponentially increases the difficulty of prevention. The fifth key argument concerns the absence of effective global governance and the paralysis of international cooperation. In the face of biological threats, the international community lacks a truly effective coordination mechanism. The World Health Organization has a surveillance mandate, but its authority is limited, relying largely on voluntary reporting and cooperation from individual nations. Under the calculus of national interest, some countries may conceal outbreak information, refuse international investigations, or even pursue bioweapons programs for military advantage. Jacobson notes that unlike nuclear weapons, which are governed by a relatively mature treaty regime, the international legal framework for biological weapons is riddled with gaps. The Biological Weapons Convention has over 100 signatories, but it has no verification mechanism, no enforcement provisions, and relies almost entirely on national self-policing. This institutional weakness sits in deeply unsettling contrast to the inherently global nature of biological threats. In terms of practical implications, for the general reader, the value of this book lies in shattering the illusion that biological warfare is something distant and abstract. COVID-19 already demonstrated the reality of global pandemics, and the scenario Jacobson describes is far more extreme than COVID-19, because it is not a naturally occurring outbreak but a deliberately designed, targeted biological attack. For policymakers, this book is an urgent call to action: strengthen biolab safety regulations, improve global disease surveillance networks, build rapid response capabilities, and push for substantive reform of international biosecurity treaties. For the scientific community, the book raises an unavoidable question: how can the pursuit of scientific progress be reconciled with the imperative to prevent research from being weaponized? Ultimately, Biological War, a Scenario is not a book designed to make you feel comfortable. It is a piercing alarm bell, drawing attention to an existential threat that has always been present but has long been neglected. After decades of living under the shadow of nuclear weapons, Jacobson directs our gaze toward a domain that is equally lethal but far more insidious. The book's purpose is not to spread fear, but to compel us to confront risk, because when it comes to biological threats, ignorance and complacency are the greatest enemies of all.